Would you look with me at Joshua 24 and verse 15? Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're faced with many, many choices in life. Young folks at school come to an important point in their lives when they have to choose the subjects which they will study, what exams they will sit. Then when they've passed those exams, they will have to choose which university they will apply to. Then, having got through university, they'll have to look through the employment registers and see what job they will take and make a choice. Then if they get married, they will have to decide where they will live. And if they have children, they'll have to decide what names to give those children. I can remember when our second child was due, driving my wife to the hospital and discussing in the car, if it's a boy, shall we call him Timothy or shall we call him James? Well, we called him Timothy James in the end. But those decisions, if you're ill, do you have that operation or do you not? Choices all through life. This morning I want to speak about the most important choice we ever have to face, one which will have eternal consequences, a choice that confronts us especially at the beginning of a new year, yet a choice that many people hesitate over, are reluctant to make, try to dodge. The choices held before us in this passage we've just read from Joshua 24, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Let me read verses 14 and 15 again to give the whole picture. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes, if it is undesirable in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me, my house, says Joshua, we will serve the Lord. The choice which Joshua puts before these people and us is, will you serve the Lord and put him first and live for him? Or will you serve some false god and live for that? That's the choice that confronts every one of us. On the one hand, we have the Lord. And if we wish, we can give our allegiance to him and serve him with all our hearts and give him the first place in our lives. On the other side, clamoring for our attention, there are a variety of gods which men and women worship. Pleasure. Many worship the god called pleasure. Their church is the football stadium or the cinema or pub. Their priest is some famous footballer or star. Others worship money. Their Bible is their bank statement. Others worship possessions. That's another big god in this materialistic age. Their place of worship is the shopping mall. Their online Bible is Amazon. They live for possessions, always buying some new possession. Thousands of people worship self. That's the biggest and most ugly God of all. They must have their own way. They must put number one first. There are many false gods. And if we wish, we can serve one of those gods. Or we can put the Lord first and serve him and live for him. That's the choice which faces us. Now, we're all clear, I'm sure, that non-Christian men and women must make such a choice. My dear friend, if you're not a Christian believer, that is the choice which confronts you. Will you go on living for some god like self or pleasure or sport or money or the house or the garden? Or will you serve the Lord and live for him and put him first and trust in him? We're all sure, aren't we? We're all clear that the non-Christian must make that choice. And every time the gospel is preached in a church like this, that is the choice which is placed before men and women. Is it to be the Lord, putting him first, or some other idol? But the fascinating thing about this passage here in Joshua 24, the solemn thing about this passage, is that Joshua is speaking to God's people. When he says, choose whom you will serve, he's speaking to God's people. Verse 1 tells us that Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. He summoned their elders, their leaders, and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua is here speaking to God's people, even speaking to their leaders. And he pleads with them to make a choice. Is it going to be the Lord first? Or is it going to be one of these idols that your fathers worshipped beyond the river? One of the idols you worshipped in Egypt. Make up your minds, he says, to God's people. Make up your minds. Who is it you're going to serve? Are you going to be out and out servants of the Lord? Or are you going to serve some idol? I have a feeling that if Joshua were in the UK today, he would make the same appeal to many of the Lord's people. Choose for yourselves whom you will serve. Is it to be the Lord or one of these many idols which is crowding in on your life? Why was such an appeal necessary to the Lord's people? Well, the position was this. The people of God had fallen into a bad state. They were at a low ebb spiritually. They'd grown cold toward the Lord. At one time they loved the Lord. Their great longing had been to serve the Lord and to worship him. But something had gone wrong. And they'd lost their zeal. And they'd lost their fervor. And they'd lost something of their love for the Lord. Indeed, some of them were giving the impression that this worship and service of God was a bit of a chore. Joshua puts it in a striking way in verse 15. If serving the Lord seems evil to you, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, they were giving the impression that this worship of Almighty God was a bit of a chore, something evil, something undesirable. Worse than that, some of them were beginning to turn their backs to their old idols and their false gods, to the gods and idols their forefathers had worshipped in Egypt, or even before that, beyond the river Euphrates. That always happens, of course, when men and women turn away from the Lord a bit. When they grow cold toward the Lord, they turn to some other idol, some other god. They were the people of God. But something had gone wrong. And they lost their fervor. And they were turning back to false gods. Joshua says to them, come on now, make up your minds. Who's it going to be? Are you going to serve the Lord with sincerity and faithfulness? What is it going to be? It's true to say that many professing Christians today are like that. Neither one thing nor the other. Neither hot nor cold. They profess to be the Lord's people, and no doubt they are. But sometimes they give the impression that serving the Lord is a bit of a chore, a bit undesirable. Joshua would say to such people, make up your mind. Are you going to serve the Lord with all sincerity and faithfulness? But if that's undesirable to you, if that's a bit of a chore to you, then there are people like that, you see. I hear Christians saying, I don't come to the prayer meeting. That goes on too long. I don't go to the prayer meeting. I don't come out on a Sunday evening. I prefer to watch television. Sunday evening service, that goes on too long. Bit of a chore to do that. Bit of a chore to go to the prayer meeting. Bit of a chore to serve the Lord. Bit of a chore to go to the Sunday evening service. Rather stay at home and watch telly. Joshua would say, choose today whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the Lord with sincerity and faithfulness? Put all your heart into that. But if that's undesirable to you, if you don't like doing that, then says Joshua, you've got to choose which of the false gods you're going to serve. Now, some Israelite might have said to Joshua, Joshua, that's stupid. Choosing a pagan god, that's madness. They're all useless. Joshua would reply, yes, that's the point I'm trying to make. If you say that serving the Lord with all your heart is undesirable, if that's evil to you, if that's a chore to you, what you're left with is this. You've got to choose which of these false gods you're going to serve. And they're all useless. They're all useless. But that's your choice. Serve the Lord with all your heart, or serve one of these false gods, which is useless. You see, the false gods that people worship in the final issue are useless. Football, nothing wrong with watching football. Nothing wrong with having a favorite football team. But what's the use of Manchester United, or Arsenal, or Chelsea, when they come and tell you, my friend, you're dying. We've done all we can for you. This cancer is inoperable. We can't do any more for you. You've got 3 weeks left to live. What's the use of a football club then, when you're facing the end? Or if you worship money, what's the use of money when they tell you you've got a few weeks left on the face of the earth? What use will be your money or your checkbook or your pension when you're about to die? It's good to have those things, but useless in the final issue. And Joshua is saying to God's people, be all out and out for the Lord, totally devoted to the Lord. But if that is undesirable to you, if that's evil to you, you've got to choose one of these false gods, and they're all useless. Well, dear friends, what is it to be for us as we go into the new year? This is the constant appeal. Remember, Elijah made the same appeal on Mount Carmel. He assembled all the people of God on Mount Carmel. They were hesitating. They were halting between two opinions. Were they going to be out and out for the Lord, or were they going to serve this false god called Baal? And Elijah said to them, how long do you limp? How long do you waver between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. Live for him. Be devoted to him. If you want Baal to be your God, well, live for him. Only be one thing or the other. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Which is it to be? Well, let's look at this together. Let me encourage you to be with Joshua and to say, I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart, with sincerity and faithfulness. Think of who he is. He is the Lord. That's how Joshua describes him in verses 14 and 15. Four times he described as the Lord. That means he is the sovereign ruler of the whole universe. The eternal, the everlasting, the almighty God. All these false gods we attempted to worship are man-made things. They're all temporary. They're all fickle. They're all unreliable. But God is the Lord. Eternal. Everlasting. Never changes. Utterly faithful. Utterly reliable. The mighty Lord of the universe. How temporary these false gods are. People making a god of money. People making a god of their possessions. People making a god of pleasure. You know, a thief, a fire can soon rob you of those gods. A stroke, a heart attack can soon rob you of your pleasure. And death one day will rob you of the lot. They're all unreliable, also temporary, but the Lord is the eternal, everlasting, almighty God of the universe. And have you ever found anything evil in him? Have you ever found anything undesirable in the Lord? That's the question Joshua puts to these people. If it's evil to you, if it's undesirable to you to serve the Lord, well, have you ever found anything evil in the Lord? Have you ever found anything undesirable in him? I can see some undesirable things in football, can't you? I can see some undesirable things in the films and that we see. I can see people involved in drugs. I can see awful things in athletics. I mean, nothing wrong with those things, essentially. But in football, in athletics, in films, I can see awful things. Drugs and immorality and greed. But have you ever found anything evil in the Lord? Anything undesirable about him? He is the Lord God Almighty. Then, secondly, I would encourage you to serve him, to choose him and serve him only, and serve him with sincerity and faithfulness because of what he's done for you. Have you noticed, whenever there's an election, whether that be a national election or whether that be a local council election, the candidates all tell you what they've done for you. You're not quite so clear yourself, but they all tell you what they've done for you, how they've improved this, how they've improved that. And they all make these wonderful claims of what they've done. But the Lord has done amazing things. Joshua spends the opening verses of this chapter, verses 2 to 13 of this chapter, Joshua spends the time reminding them of what the Lord has done for them. The Lord actually speaks through Joshua, reminding the people of what he's done for them, how he'd chosen them, when their forefather Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees, how he'd chosen them as a nation, how he'd sent Moses to be their deliverer and had rescued them from the land of Egypt and put them on the road to the promised land, how he'd watched over them and guided them and provided for them. Read verses 2 to 13 of this chapter. It's a great catalogue of all that God had done for these people. Serve him, says Joshua. Give yourselves to him. He's done so much for you. And Christian friends, he's done so much for us as well. He's chosen us. Before we were born, he shed his love upon us and chose us to be his people. Way back in eternity, he looked into the future and he saw you and me living in sin. But he set his love upon us and chose us to be his people. Then in due time, when we were lost in sin, when we were bound by sin, when we were slaves to sin, he sent a deliverer. Not Moses, but a greater than Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ, sent a deliverer to set us free from our sin. He saved us from our sin and wretchedness. None of these idols could have done that for us. All these idols that people worship, money and all the rest of it, they can't save from sin. They can't save you from hell. All the money in the world cannot save a single soul from hell. But God sent his Son to do that for us. He's done so much for us. And he's watched over us day by day and provided for us and helped us and strengthened us. That's why we should serve the Lord with all our hearts, because of what he's done for us. Then in addition to that, we should choose the Lord and give ourselves wholly to him because of what he will do for us in the future. Again, have you noticed when there's an election how the candidates make great promises what they'll do for you? Whether they're true to their promises remains a mystery sometimes. But they make these great promises what they'll do for you. Give me my vote. Choose me, and I will do wonderful things for you. Well, the Lord really has done wonderful things for us and has promised to do wonderful things for us in the future. He will watch over us and care for us. He will help us in every crisis. He'll bring us safely at last to glory. All the while we live in this world, he'll watch over us. He will make sure that no one will ever pluck us from his hand. He'll make sure that in spite of all the difficulties, we will arrive safely in glory and will spend eternity with him. Long after the day of judgment, long after this world has ceased, long after money and sport has lost all its usefulness, he will have us with him in eternal glory, worshipping him and serving him. Those are the reasons why we should serve the Lord with sincerity and faithfulness. Because of who he is. Because of what he's done for us. Because of what he's promised to do for us in the future. Well, there we are. Are we ready to choose? Choose this day whom you will serve, says Joshua. Don't go on sitting on the fence forever. Are you ready to serve the Lord and be devoted to him? Joshua was. You see, verse 15, Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He set them an example. He pledged that from that day forward, he and his family would love and serve the Lord with new vigor and zeal. It's always good when Christian leaders set an example of zeal and enthusiasm. And Joshua did. And the people said they would follow his example. Verse 16. The people answered and said, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods." They wanted to put things right. Good for them. They wanted to serve the Lord with all their hearts. That was their desire. They said it was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from that land of slavery. He is the one who saved us and helped us. We will serve him. They were determined from that day forward to serve the Lord. Are we? Is that the desire of our hearts? From this day, the first Sunday of the new year, from this day, we're determined to serve the Lord with all our hearts. Are you ready to say with Joshua, "As for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord. I'm tired of nominal Christianity. I'm tired of just drifting along. I want to serve the Lord with all my heart and soul and mind and strength with sincerity and faithfulness." How do we do that? If that's our desire, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we must realize we can't do it in our own strength. Joshua tells the people in verse 19, "You cannot, you're not able to serve the Lord. You're not able to serve the Lord." Now, what is this? Is Joshua being cruel at this point? Having urged the people to serve the Lord with all sincerity, he now tells them they can't do it. Is he being cruel? Not at all. He's just seeking to humble them a bit. He's just seeking to show them that they can't do it in their own strength. They had said, "We'll do it. We'll serve the Lord." So the first thing that Joshua says to them is, "You can't do it in your own strength, my friends. You can't do it. If you're trusting in yourself, you can't do it." Many times in my life, I've made pledges to be more committed to the Lord, but long since I've learned that in my own strength, I can't do it. I can't do it. But then, having faced the fact that we can't do it in our own strength, that we need God's grace, we then need to realize that it's a solemn thing to make such a commitment to God. Look at verse 21 and 22. The people said, "No, we really will serve the Lord." Thanks for reminding us, Joshua, that we can't do it in our own strength. But we're not trying to do that. We really are determined to serve the Lord from this day forward with all faithfulness. So Joshua says to the people in verse 22, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you've chosen to serve the Lord." He's saying to them, it's a very solemn thing to open your mouth and to promise the Lord that you'll serve him better and love him more. Never do that lightly. Never do that carelessly. Never do that in a trivial way. When you pledge yourselves to serve your Lord, the Lord, that's like signing a solemn document in the face of witnesses. It's a very solemn thing to do. How trivial we are sometimes when we sing our hymns. "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Hold all my being. Absolute sway." Do we really mean that? Are we really eager for the Lord to have absolute sway over our whole lives? It's a very solemn thing to say that you're committing yourself to serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't do that lightly. It's like bearing witness against yourself You're making a solemn statement in the presence of witnesses. Then we must try by God's grace to put away all the idols, all the false gods. Verse 23, put away the foreign gods which are among you. It may be hard. It will be hard. You love football. There's nothing wrong with football. Good exercise. You love football. Nothing wrong with that. But on Wednesday night, there's a prayer meeting at the church. And there's also a football match. Which is it going to be? It'll be hard to say, I won't go to the football. I'll go to the prayer meeting. But we've got to put aside the idol, costly as it may be. It's a Sunday evening. On Sunday evening, there's a gospel service. But there's also a good program on television. A noble program. David Attenborough. Some wonder of nature. I'd really love to stay at home and watch that. But which is it to be? The gospel service or the telly? It'll be hard sometimes to ditch the idol and put the Lord first. But we must resolve before God, oh Lord, whatever the cost, I want to put aside all the idols and serve you. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Then yield yourself, verse 23, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. In the 1960s, there used to be a big convention, mainly for young people, at the Butlins Holiday Camp in Filey, in Yorkshire. Margaret and I went there just before we got married, and we went there again just after we got married. At that convention, many, many young people were called to missionary work. And I spent years serving the Lord in many dangerous situations. Many young people, those conventions in the 60s, were called to full-time missionary work. And they used to sing a hymn at those missionary meetings, this convention in Filey. And the hymn went something like this, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all." Are you willing? Am I willing to make that commitment? The first Sunday of the new year. If so, make a note of this day. Write it down. Joshua did that, verse 26. He recorded these things. He wrote them down. Well, do the same. On January the 7th, 2018, the Lord spoke to me. He's done so much for me. Here's the Lord. He saved me from hell and put me on the road to heaven. 7th of January 2017, I solemnly rededicated my life to the Lord. and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord with sincerity and faithfulness." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage in Joshua 24. We thank you for the example of Joshua. One of the last things he did was to challenge those people and then solemnly rededicate himself to the Lord. Lord, help us to do that this day, we pray. We recognize we can't do it in our own strength. We recognize we need your help. But Father, by your grace, we long to serve you with all our hearts this coming year. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.